Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Part two of the message we started this morning, dealing with the dust of death from this messianic psalm. Once again, a messianic psalm is a psalm that talks about the Messiah. And Psalm 22 has all kinds of prophecies in it about the Messiah. Psalm chapter 22. Amen. And brother, let's see, Jesse, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Psalm 22 in verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? So as we saw this morning, this is dealing with the prophecy that was fulfilled in Matthew 27 when Jesus cried that on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But we were looking at verse 15. Another prophecy says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. An interesting phrase. So we saw this morning how that God created man from the dust of the ground. We saw the different references made to clay because we looked at, well, could it be topsoil? Could it be sand? Could it be gravelly? But we saw several references that talk about clay. And that's a good formable type of soil, type of dust. And God evidently chose that type of dust to from which to make Adam. So we looked at that, and we looked at why man's body, physical body, will go back to the dust. Let's go to number three tonight, and this would be the serpent would eat dust. Because of his sin. The serpent would eat dust because of his sin. Genesis 3:13. So we're looking at these references to dust in the scripture. A little over 100 references in English to dust. Something you ladies may be a little frustrated with fighting constantly is the dust. You wonder where it comes from. In Genesis 3:13, the Bible says, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and what? Dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So the serpent would be humbled. I don't know exactly how the serpent carried itself, this animal. I don't know exactly how it carried itself before, but when the serpent allowed itself to be used of Satan to tempt Eve, a curse was put upon the serpent, and God cursed it to crawl upon its belly and eat the dust. So, and what was the sin of Satan? Well, it was pride. Notice in Isaiah 14. So it's interesting what God did to the serpent, put him down in the dust to crawl on his belly. Isaiah 14:12. And is that not what pride does to us? It brings us down. It brings us low. That's what pride does to us. In Isaiah 14:12, the Bible says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will what? Ascend into heaven. I will what? Exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will what? Sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will what? Ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like what? The Most High. So he's just filled with pride. He's gonna be higher than God, he thinks. But verse 15, yet thou shalt be what? Brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So that's exactly what pride does. It brings us down. It doesn't give us a higher position. It only brings us low, down to the ground. Notice some verses in regard to that. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 in verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. What does God say will happen to us when we are filled with pride? Proverbs 11, verse 2. The Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. But with who? The lowly is wisdom. So pride puffs us up, but humility brings us down. And so humility with the lowly is wisdom. So when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Look with me, please, in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before what? Destruction. And an haughty spirit before what? A fall. Okay. Verse 19, better it is to be of an what? Humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with who? The proud. So once again, pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. And then in Proverbs 29 and verse 23. Proverbs 29, 23. A man's pride shall bring him what? Low. But honor shall uphold the who? Humble in spirit. So a man's pride shall bring him low. So just like with a serpent, it's interesting. God used the dust of the ground to form Adam. But in the same token, as a curse upon the serpent, God cursed the serpent to crawl upon his belly in the dust. But on a different note here, let's go then to Genesis 13, another use in the Bible of the word dust. And this was something that I never... Isn't that the way it is when you read the Bible? You can read it for years and you never notice some things until a certain point. Brother Joe had a great message there at Green Acres today. And there's so many things in the Scripture that you can read over for years and years, and it never really grabs you. And this was one of those things I never really noticed until studying for this message. But in Genesis 13, 5, the Bible says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was what? Well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him what? All the plain of Jordan. Wow, was he selfish or what? And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as what?
Dust
the dust of the earth. So that if a man can number what? The dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. You know, I never really picked up on, he said, your seed would be as the dust of the earth. Usually when I think of it, I think of, well, he said, as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the seashore. But I never noticed this time it said as dust. And it was just something that kind of stood out to me. And what got my attention for this message was reading that messianic psalm about the dust of death. And then looking at all these occurrences of the word dust. And so you think of here, let's just back up a little bit and talk about this. So verse 6 here says the land wasn't able to bear both of them. And so there began a strife between their herdsmen. Well, you can imagine if you have more cattle than the ground, than that area can really handle, you're dealing with a lack of pasture, maybe a lack of coordinating at the watering hole to water all of these cattle. So Abraham is a kind and gracious uncle, and he gives Lot the first choice. You know, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I go to the right. He gives him the first pick, and surprisingly, shockingly, verse 10, Lot doesn't seem to be very grateful about all that his uncle has done since Lot's dad died. And so he chooses all the best of the land. It's always amazed me why he didn't say, well, listen, Uncle Abraham, why don't we each take half of the plain? You know, instead of dividing the land this way, you know, one person getting all the well-watered plain and one person getting all the high ground, why don't we divide it the other way? Why don't we both have some high ground, some low ground? But no, he takes all the low ground. He chose all the plain, it says, verse 10. He chose all the plain of Jordan. I don't know, maybe Abraham could have been in a little shock that he would do that. I mean, I would, wouldn't you? If you had done a lot for someone since their parent died, wouldn't you expect them to show a little gratitude? I would think so. You know, God had given Abraham a promise before, and I mentioned it. Let's go to chapter 15, Genesis 15, verse 5. Genesis 15, 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he, Abraham, what? Believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. So God tells him here to look to the stars. If you're able to number them, so shall your seed be. Wow, all those stars. What a promise. But Abraham believed it. Verse 6. He believed it. Then let's go to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, verse 15. Genesis 22:15. The Bible says, an angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. Well, we just saw that one. And as what? The sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So God gives him this promise here. So I'll multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. I'll multiply your seed as the sand on the seashore. But let's go back then to Genesis 13. So this is an earlier instance. Those are two later instances where God promises, your seed will be like the stars of heaven, like the sand on the seashore in number. But at this point, Abraham had just been, I will say, swindled by his nephew, out of all of the good pasture ground. And I just imagine, you know, Abraham is looking at the higher ground, thinking, I wonder what my herdsmen are going to think. There was friction before, and so I just gave away all the good grounds. Their life is going to be a lot harder now because of what I just, of the choice I just gave Lot. I wonder if he thought about that. I don't know, but, you know, I just wonder as Abraham was walking away from that conversation with Lot, I just wonder if he was kicking up some dust with his feet. The higher ground is dusty. You know, to a farmer, unless it's harvest time, dusty ground is not a good sign. It's not a sign of good. And so, dust. God used the dust. It made me wonder and think about it as I was thinking a little Joel this last week and kicking up the dust and being so intrigued by little clouds of dust rising. And I just wonder if Abraham was walking away discouraged and was kicking up dust. You know, when it's really dry, just walking kicks up dust. And dust is normally a discouraging thing for you ladies in the house. And it's discouraging for the farmer out in the field. Dust, not a good sign. But you know what? In this instance, and I just never noticed it there in verse 16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. As I said, to a farmer, dust is normally a discouraging thing. And I just wonder if Abraham walked away, if that was the case as he was walking, was kicking up dust. I don't know if that's why God used that example, because he doesn't use it again. It's stars, it's sand on the seashore. I just wonder if God used that thing, which would have been discouraging. My ungrateful nephew just stole all of the well-watered plain. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. And I'm left with this dusty ground. Whatever the case that took place, God used the example of dust. And I just have a feeling that there was some dust being kicked up, because God doesn't use that example that I recall offhand. And I am getting old, and I don't recall as well as I used to, but I don't recall that being used again as a promise to Abraham. It has made me think then, if you hold your place here again, turn to with me please to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do what?
Exceeding abundantly
what? Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So as fine and as thick as dust is, just remember, Abraham, I can bring it to life. And that which seems so discouraging, you're left now with the higher ground. Your nephew just stole all the well-watered plain from you. But Abraham, I want you to know that every time you see a cloud of dust, I don't want you to see that as a discouragement. I want you to see that cloud of dust when you walk, when your animals walk, when your herdsmen walk, when your cattle moves through there and the cloud of dust rolls. I don't want you ever to feel like your situation is hopeless now. I want you, when you see that cloud of dust, to think, that is how I'm going to multiply you. And dust is finer than sand. Dust is, as we talked about this morning, gave the definition of dust. Dust is any particle of something that is light enough to be airborne. That's what makes it dust. It's in the air. And as I thought about that, this Abraham would have been hard not to be discouraged. All the dust he'd have to face. Remember, I'm going to multiply your seed as that dust, which is so fine and so abundant. And then it made me start thinking, dust. Dust. What about the 10 plagues? Do you remember the plague that Pharaoh's men could not duplicate? Well, let's refresh our memory in Exodus 7. Exodus 7 and verse 20. Exodus 7, verse 20. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. So they were able to duplicate it. It seems pretty foolish, doesn't it? I mean, if the water is all turned to blood where you can't drink it and the fish are dying, wouldn't it be smarter to use power to turn it back to good water? But, you know, that's what Satan is like. He doesn't make things better. He makes it worse. But nonetheless, Pharaoh didn't regard because his men with their enchantments could do the same. Then let's look at Exodus 8, 5. Exodus 8, verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians, what? Did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Once again, what a foolish thing. Why didn't he ask his magicians to get rid of them? No. Hey guys, the ground is covered with frogs from Moses. Can you do that? Yeah, sure. We can multiply your problems. Is that smart? No, that's dumb. He had his own men multiply his problems. But that's like Satan, just like him to do. Let's go to Exodus 8:16. Exodus 8:16. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite what? The dust of the land, that it may become what? Lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote, what? The dust of the earth. And it became lice in man and in beast. All the, what? Dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. But what?
They could not.
So there were lice upon man and upon beast. They couldn't. This was the first thing they couldn't imitate with their enchantments. They couldn't turn dust into something living, lice. What a contrast. Remember, God made Adam of the dust of the earth. God can turn dust into life. He did it. That's why we're all here, because he did it with Adam. And then verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is what? The finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. The finger of God. Only God can bring life out of dust. And it makes me think, I don't know what you're facing in your life right now. Maybe in your life you feel like you're in the well-watered plain. Maybe you're doing great. No need of anything, no problems. Life is fairly easy, smooth sailing. No problems. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe on the other hand, in your life right now, it seems like you're facing all kinds of problems. Maybe the Spirit of God has used you to be very kind to people, be very thoughtful of others, like Abraham. And for it, you're facing problems. You're facing more hardship because you were kind. And maybe that's not the issue. Maybe it's just some other thing where you feel like in your life, you just feel like your life, you're walking through a barren desert. It might seem in your life right now like you've tried so hard. You know, we've been talking about revival. And you might be feeling right now, you know what? I do have an earnest zeal to be thoroughly right with God. I have a burning desire to be thoroughly right with God and not holding any sin in my heart, just making all things right with Him. I do. Maybe you're saying in your heart, I have had and are renewing a burning desire to be used of God. And maybe you have been praying for revival and you just so long for it, but you just feel like no matter what you do, you're still living in the desert. It seems like no matter what you do, it just seems like all you do is kick up dust. And you just feel like my life is like a barren desert, and I so much want to be used of God. And it just made me think of Abraham. The next time that you're serving the Lord with all of your might and not depending on your own strength, you're depending upon God, but you still just feel like all you're doing is kicking up dust. It just seems like you don't know where to find the oasis, where to find the well-watered plain. Just remember this in those hours, in those times. Just remember this, that the only reason we're here is because God used dust to create that first man. And then He took a rib of that man made out of dust and made the woman. And that's why we are all here. So remember that God can take dust and make life out of it and make it fruitful. And just remember that Satan can't. Just remember what Pharaoh's men did. All they did when they were allowed to do something on the miraculous side, all they did was cause more problems. And any time we would even think about giving ourselves over to sin, it's only going to be like Pharaoh's men. It's only going to cause us more problems. It's not going to help. So the next time as you serve the Lord, you're just so longing to see the moving of God. But all you seem to see is dust. Remember Abraham. He was so kind to his nephew. But for it, all he had left was dust. But God said to him, I will number your seed as the dust of the ground. I'll number your seed as the dust of the ground. Something, dust. Normally you don't use dust as an illustration of anything good, but God did. And it's interesting in that passage, you know, at times it'll say that God gives a promise like, you know, numbering as the stars of heaven. And Abraham believed in the Lord and counted it to him for righteousness. But in that case with the dust, it does not say that about Abraham. So I want to encourage you tonight. Those are the hard times, isn't it? When you see something so dry as a cloud of dust, and to believe God. But as I said, that was early on. Later on, when God gave promises, He didn't use dust as an example. But Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So take heart. Whatever you might be facing right now, God has not forsaken you. And it might seem like all that you're surrounded by is just rolling dust. But remember, God can take that rolling dust and bless your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, many times we do feel that way, like we're in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. But we thank you that even in those times, it's nothing with you to turn dust into life. And Satan can't imitate that. Only you can do that. And Father, I just pray that you would help us with all of our being to each day and throughout the day just have that burning desire to be thoroughly right with you. Have that burning desire to be consecrated to your perfect will for our lives, to be used of you. Lord, that we would have a longing to be used of you. That you would not have to put out a sign begging for help, but every day we would go to you and throughout the day, Lord, would you please use me today? And then, Lord, that we might not give up praying for revival. And Father, I just pray if there are people here tonight that just feel like all they're doing is kicking up clouds of dust, I pray you'd help them tonight to know that that is not a hopeless sign, but that you can turn that dust into life, into abundance, into blessing. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.